Because I'm telling you right now, when I'm preaching these next few things to you, they're my life prior to salvation. There were people I got in cars with, that I got in homes with, that I ran with, that I looked at them and said, you ain't nothing but trouble. You are going to get us in a multitude of trouble just because you're angry. If you don't, the Bible says you cast out a scorner until they change. Amen? When I preach about stuff like that in this church, I hope y'all get this. Well, I've been here almost 8 years now. I hope you get some real thickness about you a little bit. Listen, everybody can't stay at this church. Everybody can't stay in your ministry. Sometimes until they repent and turn to God, they can't be in what you're doing. Amen? Some people come to me all the time and say, so-and-so really would love to be back in the church. And I'm always saying this right here. Why? Why? Why do you want back in the church? Well, there's preaching and there's singing and there's fellowship and there's a fellowship hall and we have meals and we can have birthday parties and we get together and we can do some things. Here's what it should sound like. I got so broken over my sin that I want to turn to Jesus. And I want him to heal me, fix me, cleanse me, and use me. And I want to be around other believers so I can get some help and be a help. Amen? I want to be a spiritual help. I want to be a drink in a thirsty land. I don't want to come there and sit down and make everybody adjust to me. I don't want to come in the room and say, you're just going to have to accept me for who I am. None of us say that to God. You shouldn't. Here's what we should say. God, you change everything about me that you don't like or want. You come in here and you clean house. You start in the body and you end in the mind. Amen? How many of you in this room, God came in and cleansed a lot of things, but you are still sitting here on a Wednesday night, been saved for a good long time of your life, and God is still cleaning your mind. God's still running lines in my mind that he's cleaning. God, I wish I could. I wanted to move on. But is there anybody in here, God is still uninstalling bad wiring that you helped run? God, what that you helped run, that you helped install, that you helped download, and God's in there making moves. And somebody looked. So I had somebody the other day. I was praying with somebody, and they looked at me and said, "Man, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're so strong in the Lord." I'm like, "You're out of your mind." I'm like a little kid. When you're not around me, when I give you what God's given me, but praise God, when I'm all alone with God, I'm like a little child. I fall before him and say, God, without you, I'm nothing. God, I wish I could go a little bit. God, even with you some days, I'm terrible. I'm a wretched man. I love when Paul wrote that. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I was, that I am. I'm glad God loves me some days. You ever have them days that you're sitting there going, God, I can't believe you love me. I can't believe you put up with me. If it was me, I'd shut me down sometimes. Not another message, not another word, not another sermon, not another place. Nothing, because your poor attitude. Because your willingness to do something you know ain't going to work. And it'll offend me. Boy, I'm telling you right now, I didn't know this first verse is going to be like it was. Maybe we shouldn't move off the Proverbs after all. Ain't this like medicine? Have y'all felt that? Last 2 or 3 months, it's like medicine, ain't it? And I'm not talking about that grape-flavored Kool-Aid medicine. I'm talking about this feels like, it's like coming and getting a transfusion or something. This is like coming and getting some knockdown medicine. This is like that stuff you're like, I don't know if the medicine ain't killing me more than the sickness. Because I've left here, I'm being honest with you, I've left here and I've came here going, man, I hope they don't see me. Because I see me in this. When I'm preaching this, I hope you're not going, man, I see him. Because when I look in it, I see a mirror. I don't even see any of y'all when I'm preaching this. I see me. I sit there and go, oh, man. I can't believe when I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit comes down and jumps in me, and I'm sitting here going, my God. So God said, I prayed for a song. Man, I can't believe God even answers. I'm walking around, I said, God, give me a message for him. I need a message. He's like, here it is. I'm like, man, can you not find somebody better? Yes. Yeah, I can. But if you'll just keep your eyes on me, we can do it. Verse 22. That's 20. Let's move down to 23. This one's going to get you. Now, this one, don't minister to nobody else. It's for you. There's especially one part of it. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now we can't have altar call. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And this is where God gave me this big revelation on this pride thing. A man's pride shall bring him low. And here's what it looks like. They will not humble themselves. Watch this right here. They are here. This is who they are. They're lifting themselves up above their rank. You got to find out who you are, where you rank. You know who we are in Christ Jesus? You know who I am in Christ Jesus? Well, I'm a private. I'm the lowest ranking soldier in the army. Here's what we should do. Get up every morning and go like this. Private Shelton, reporting for duty, sir. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I want me to do. You know what pride will do? You know what pride will do for you? This is who I am in Christ. Pastor, preacher, evangelist, missionary. I'm this. I am so much. Pride will have you lift. You'll be looking sometime and you'll think to yourself, man, I'm pretty big. I think I need to be exalted up just a little bit higher. You know what comes right after that? Fall. A fall. Big old fall. They always are looking high. You want to find yourself in trouble with God, lift your chin up and never bend it. Get stiff-necked and think like this. I can't see all the people below me. You are in trouble. Stop looking lofty and high. I don't know how they could ever be. I look at people and go, that could be me. Lest God have no mercy on my soul. I'm just being honest with you. I want to preach this the right way. I want to handle the Word of God properly. I can get my chin a little high. Good God. I'm doing pretty good. God hates that. Let me give you the scripture. God hates a prideful look. It's one of the seven things he hates the most. You know why? I believe he looked at a person named Satan do it for so long that he can't stand it when he sees it. And when he sees dirt do it, I bet it really aggravates him. When he sees us, the dust of the world, go, I can't even look. I won't even bend my neck to that message. I won't even bend my neck to the Spirit of God. I won't even bend my neck. You know what? I wonder sometimes as a preacher, I'm sitting here going, man, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I've never seen some people bend their neck to God. Bow down before God and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. He doesn't like when we look high, when we talk big, when we talk bigger than we are. Oh, I've arrived. I have developed. I am something. I'm so, man, praise God. You just got to hang on. I am hanging on to Jesus. You like that one? Hanging on to Jesus? Well, when you really get studying on that thing, you realize real quick, he's hanging on to me. Thank God. I've got a firm grip on him. But when my grip slips, his will never fail. He puts me in his hand, and we're both in the Father's hand. And no man shall pluck me out. Thank God. No devil in hell can pull one finger of God off your life. I know we're not lap running, Holy Spirit. Man, there's some of y'all sitting in here. Ain't you glad since the day that you gave him your life that he ain't got you out of his hand? Thank God for that. We talk big, man. Boy, we're going to do it. When it comes right down to it, man, I'm telling you right now, the best moments I've had with God, when I've rode down the road and God shows me who I am, what I would be without him, and I'm crying like a little baby going, thank you, Jesus. Talk a big game. But without you, I can't even walk. Here's the one where I want to minister to you at. Everybody in this room, God sent you here for this part of this message, right here. Because this is where we need help. Appearing fine. Appearing fine. Good. Make a note right there. I think God's upset with the church. Right there. Because we do that real well. We appear fine. You want to be prideful? Is when you know your life is a wreck. You've got things in your life that you need God to touch. Absolutely touch. But you're so prideful when you get around other people that you believe are spiritual. You appear to be fine. You appear to be good. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that is a symbol of pride right there. We do that in the church so well. You know what we do? Here's what we do. We would rather look impressive to a person in our left and our right in the church, know we're needing God either for salvation or deliverance or healing or to get the devil out of our lives, and we will sit there and appear to be all right. But I'm afraid that my family will be embarrassed if I go out there and make a fool of myself because I'm so broken over this. I'm going to be honest with you. You need to get over that. You need to get over whatever religious background you have, and you need to start doing real business with God before it goes too deep and too far that you can't get it right. Man, preacher, that's good preaching. We do that all the time. What will they think? I remember one time, I'm not going to say who it was or whatever, but I'm going to say this. A prayer request went out over the line, and somebody got back. Man, maybe we shouldn't put that out there. Some of that family could get offended because they might think that they didn't do the right thing a long time ago. Who cares? I think they thought that everything was okay 10 years ago. That might be embarrassing to the family, but the family sent out the prayer request saying, we need help. And here we are on the other side looking on our phones into the prayer chain going, that's got to be embarrassing to the family. No, you know what's embarrassing? That we don't see that and go, man, that could easily be my family. My God, it probably will be. Immediately falling on our face, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over that situation and that person. I think what hinders most people from coming and really getting true Jesus is because most people thought, well, I thought they was all right. I don't care what they thought. Let me give you this. If God's burdening your heart about sin and repentance, that ain't the devil. The devil don't do that. Let me tell you what the devil does. Come back next week. Come back next week. You're all right. Let me take you to a little special place here in your Bible, brother. There's a date right here. You wrote it down when you got it, and that's when you'll be all right. You remember your uncle, your brother, your sister, and nephew was out there. Let me tell you something. If God's burdened your heart about sin and salvation, you better not swing out eternity on, I got a note in the back of my Bible. You better swing out on a turn knowing I know him and he knows me. Stop appearing like everything's all right. Stop coming in the house of God all puffed up on some false profession you made 20 years ago that there ain't never no fruit of. I didn't know I was going to preach this hard tonight. But I'm going to tell you right now, that some 30, that some 60, that some 100, that fruit that's provided, people will start calling you by what you are. And if they ain't, they ain't. Whew. If somebody's worked with you for about a decade and they ain't never called you a believer, a Christian, they don't have any idea, but all of a sudden on the job they're looking over at you and going, what happened to you? Y'all, let me tell you a quick story about my daddy getting saved. My daddy got saved. Guess what? He was supposed to be locked up in the Polk County Jail. They didn't catch him. They caught my uncle or his cousin. They run together. My daddy went to church that Sunday. Instead of going to jail, he got saved. You know what he did when he first got saved? First day he got saved, on a Sunday, got in his car and drove down to the Polk County Jail, the place he should have been. Walked back to the cell where his cousin was, sat down across from him, and the first thing that man said is, Ronnie, what happened to you? You look like a different man. He said, I went into New Fellowship Baptist Church this morning, and I got saved, and I'm never going to be the same man again. You hear me? That's what it looks like. God hates it when we keep appearing fine for other people to be satisfied with what God ain't doing in our lives. There's a beautiful message in the Bible where a little woman walked in the house and started worshiping Jesus, poured out an alabaster box. I preached it a million and a half times here. You know it. Judas, out loud, said, why was a waste made? You better be careful. You better be careful. The people that are telling you to sit back and don't give so much to Jesus and don't pour yourself out and don't go to the altar and don't worship God and don't get it healed and don't get it fixed and don't get it right might not even go into heaven either. You might be sitting there watching, listening to somebody that don't like Jesus either. You come, you pour yourself out before God, and you let God defend it. You let God defend you. You let God become your umbrella, your shield, your buckler, your high tower, the place you run into, your refuge. You let people figure it out. I remember when I got saved, I was 31 years old. I thought I got saved when I was 13. My stepmom and him had a tape of me. Listen, right here. You know what I did after that? Absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. I spent the rest of my life living like hell. You know what happened when I was 31 years old? I met Jesus, got born again, saved, and I ain't never been the same. I ain't perfect, but I ain't been the same either. And you know what? I'm going to heaven. You know what? My daddy came to the first revival I preached, and I remember sitting there, and they were sitting on the front row, and I was about to preach, and I said, I got saved August 28 of 04, and I could see my dad's eyes go, whoop. And I told him, I said, Daddy, I love you. And I'm glad you got saved back in 1986. And I'm glad you said, well, I'm glad my son got what he got right there where I got it. No, I did not. Because nothing changed. But when I did get it, friend, my daddy, my stepmama who had that tape, they threw the tape away. And said, you're a different man. You're a different person. And that's all we ever really wanted. All God really wants is your salvation. He wants you to know that you know. And can I go a little bit further? After you know what's going to change in your life? You're going to have a burden for people. You're going to have a burden that's so big in your life, I can't tell you exactly what it is. Don't meet me at church and tell me exactly what it is. I can't tell you. My first one was homeless people. I'm telling you right now, before I got saved, I didn't even know they was homeless people. I knew they existed. I just didn't care. The moment I got saved, I cared. I cared if they had jackets, underwear, socks, place to go, place to stay, place to eat. I remember when I first got saved, why are you so worried about it? I don't know. I just think if I was homeless, this is what I'd want. And I said, while we're handing out underwear and socks and jackets and stuff, you know what else we can do? It's amazing. Tell them about Jesus. Man can't take a brand new coat from you and not tell them about Jesus. Here's a brand new coat, man. It's nice. It come right off the rack down to JCPenney's. It's wonderful. But before you take it, can I tell you about Jesus? Sure, go ahead. Amen? It's amazing how that works. Applauding self. But the opposite of that, verse 23, I don't think we're going to make it, Kevin. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now listen what this looks like. They humble themselves. And when they do, God exalts them. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you know what? You won't recognize it, but all of a sudden God will start lifting you up and pressing you up and bringing you into places, and your gift will start making places for you in this world, and you won't be able to explain it, and you won't be promoting, but all of a sudden you'll be sitting there going, I can't believe I'm getting to do what I'm doing. I can't believe I preach 4 or 5 days a week. I've done that for the last 19 years of my life. My God, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. And it was just because I said, God, you can have it. You can have me. I'll preach anywhere you want me to preach. I'll do anything you want me to do. And God said, hey, here you go. That's great. He will exalt you. He will establish your dignity. God, when you're humble before God, most people, your dignity gets stripped away. They see you on the altar. They see you before God. They see you. God will pound you to death sometimes. And everybody will just go, poor so-and-so. Go, poor so-and-so. They don't know. While you're getting pounded and broken and in the storms of life, God was standing there in the storm with them going, I'm right here, buddy. If you had stayed on the couch, I wouldn't be there. If you had not made a big deal about me, I wouldn't be there. I'd let you live any life you wanted to, and everybody else would be wanting to have your life, but nobody wants to have this life, but nobody knows about the places that I meet you, the secret places where I meet with you. Paul said, you was feeling sorry for me because I was shipwrecked 3 times, but every time I was shipwrecked, Jesus showed up and told me how I was going to get out of it. Golly, some of y'all need to get in trouble with Jesus. You ever get in trouble with him? He'll show up, man, in places and things you think, man, I can't believe I'm here. And all of a sudden you look over and Jesus goes, hey. you'll be all nestled down, worried to death. Am I going to live or am I going to die? Oh, my God, where's God? And God says, I'm right here with you. Been here the whole time. Well, why wouldn't you over there when I was doing good? Because that's not where I'm at. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Their humility is in their honor. Yes. They shall make them truly, truly and safely great. I mean, they're going, man, you'll just know, you know that you're safe and things are good, even when they don't look like it. Hey, did y'all ever know, you ever seen that little scripture? I'm stealing this from somewhere out there in the internet world. I don't know where it comes from. But do y'all know who Esau is? What did it say about Esau? Remember? Does anybody remember? He loves Jacob, but he, okay, Bible study. He hates Esau. Do y'all remember when Esau and Jacob met after God took him down there and let him meet the game master? I'm preaching everything I know. Some of y'all, we're one verse away from getting out of here, I promise. God went down there, and his future wife's daddy was the game master. See, Jacob thought he was a game player. his father-in-law was like Milton Bradley. He goes, I made all the games. Amen? And he went down there, and God wore him out for 14 years. And then when he was about to get out of that little trouble that he got into, one night he wrestled with God. Has anybody here ever wrestled with God? He's strong, man. And he hit him in the hip. God, I wish, Ed, you need to preach this sometime. He hits him in the hip. But get the word. When you get into the word and kind of pull it apart right there, he hits him in the hip, but Jacob holds on to the angel. Good God. The angel's wearing him out. But Jacob says, come here, Peyton. Come on, I'm sorry. Come here. Get up. He's the angel. He's the strong one. You can sit down. He's like, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. Angel, you ain't even doing nothing to me. But I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. Have you ever grabbed a hold of somebody that you knew that's a strong person? I played enough sports. You go up down the court or something, you run into someone, you're like, uh-oh. I ain't moving that fella. Right? Here's a guy down here, Whitwell, I played football against. I creased his eye in a basketball game way off. Then we played them in football in the playoffs. His name was Chip. He was a huge man, and he was 17. But every time I run into him basketball camp, he'd say, you got me in that eye. It's 4 stitches right there, buddy. And I forgot about it, man. I was playing defensive end near Polk County High School. All of a sudden, this comes this way, and I cut around here. All of a sudden, I was about to tackle the guy, and all I could see is a little blue helmet. Boom! He knocks me like a 360. I fly into the air and fall down. And the old big old Chip leans over and goes, he's about 6'5", 280 pounds, leans over and goes, remember that eye, boy? It's a big old boy, big fella, nice as can be, big. Wrestling with God. So you ain't gonna let you, I ain't going to let you go. Some of y'all need to get a hold of God and say, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to hang on to you. And God said, all right, I'm going to bless you. You're no longer Jacob, you Israel. I'll only call you by your name when you're acting like who you was instead of who you are. And he pops Jacob's hip out of socket. I'm going to preach it all. Jacob then goes to meet Esau, coming back into the land, and he's afraid when he gets to Esau because he robbed Esau when he last seen him. But Esau's blessed beyond measure, and he's doing really well. But Jacob sends all of his stuff ahead of him, camels, sheep, oxen, everything ahead of him. I mean, he puts them in a line, and then he puts all of his family in a line, and then he gets and he hides behind his stuff. Esau's doing fine. Esau ain't got no limp. Esau's been living a good life up there, doing his own thing. Hey, Esau, I'm sorry for messing with you. I didn't mean to hurt you. Esau's like, what's wrong with you? God's had me down here in that land, and he told me I could finally come home. Well, you look a mess. Yeah, God gives good whoopings. Well, he ain't been whooping me. He don't whoop those that don't belong to him. He don't correct them. He corrects us. Amen. So next time you walk around with a limp, you think, man, God ain't in this. He might be in it bigger than you thought. Amen. He's just getting you where you need to be. They will be esteemed of all of the wise and the good. What does that mean? When you truly meet a humble person, everybody likes them. They can't help themselves. I'm going to use his name because it's easy. We have a guy come here very often. The only reason I have him come is not because he plays the guitar real well, not because he sings real well, but Mike White comes here. He's the most humble guy I've ever known in my life. He oozes humility. He always seeks the lowest place. He's always about like, oh, no, you do. I'll go over here and get out of the way. And you can't help but love him. It would be like clubbing a baby seal if you didn't like him. You can't do it. You just look at him and you go, I can't do it. Because he's so humble. And he's so nice. And he puts all the glory to God. and shuns it all for himself. Some people say they do that, but they don't. I'm going to go ahead and give you all the last verse. Thank you, Kevin. Verse 25. Some of y'all need some mercy. Jump down to verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And if I had more time, I'd preach a whole message on what Dan showed me one day when it comes to snares. He changed my whole out-thinking and out-rigging on snares. I thought I knew something, but Dan came by and showed me two traps that were made for birds, snares. And I looked at it and I went, thank you. See, I'm a very visual person. As soon as he threw them traps down with all those snares around it, I realized right then, that's my whole life. I made it through all them snares. What the devil was supposed to kill me with, I should have been killed. But God tripped every one of them. Let me run right through them. Let me get out on the other side and not be ended. Amen. I preached a little bit of it, Dan, but he preached a better message. He just threw the trap out there and told me how it worked, and his message was 10 times better than mine. Good stuff. The fear of the man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. This is where I want to finish, not a very long part of this message. I want to give this to you. Today, Charles Stanley said this, this is not a time for fear. This is a time for courage. We're looking at a world right now that we think might be on the brink. As Christians, we need to look at it and go, this is the most prime opportunity. Darkest time in history. Darkest time is the end of the world. I can shine brighter now than anybody else in history. And you say, what about that fear? We need a Holy Ghost boldness to say this right here. There is nothing a man or a woman or a person or a government that can do to me that can keep me out of heaven. Amen? There's not one thing any person on this planet can do to keep you out of heaven. So when you're right there on the brink of life and death, and people are making big threats, there's only two things God's going to do for you. He's not going to let them hurt you or kill you, and he's going to use you as a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. And you will have boldness that you never imagined having. Or they will destroy your body, and you'll fall dead where you lay. And your spirit will enter the kingdom of heaven. And when it does, you'll look at the throne of glory. And when Jesus says, enter in my good and faithful servant, you will wish that you could have gave a million deaths to be there. Do not let fear become a snare to you. That means you put your feet flat on the ground and say, I will not go, I will not do, I will not move. Because what if this happens? What you need to say, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. I will go where God tells me to go. Fearless, without fear, without being hindered. Let's all stand. As God